I came first to Provincetown in 1946 when I was 17, going on 18. And that really was what I call the beginning of my life. And I was over the hill at Truro looking at Provincetown. For some reason, this was my home to be. I knew it from the day I first came here. I came here to study painting with Mr. Henchy. Someone said to me, what kind of a painter are you? I'm a general painter. I'm interested in the landscape. I'm interested in the flora and fauna. I'm interested in people's faces. I'm interested in what they do. I want to be a painter that records the vibrant life of the community. Much of my fishing pictures are a harking back to the time when Provincetown was truly a fishing town, because in those days it was really a fishing town. We had 7 cold storage plants, we had 30 wharfs, we had 200 boats. It was a real working town. The train would come in twice a day to pick up the cargo, came right down the fish pier, right down the main pier. When we had the tragedy of the Patricia Marie, I knew all the kids that went down to the ocean and died, 7 of them. It was the worst fishing disaster in Provincetown history. I was so moved by that I started a series of paintings, and I did 3 of my major works commemorating the tragedy of the Patricia Marie. I went to the dunes first in 1946 because I met Frenchie in town, and she invited me to come out sometime. Most town people would never go out to the dunes. There's a taboo about it, that it was too dangerous, too unfriendly. Frenchie Chanel came here as a younger woman from France, having lived in the streets of Paris. Frenchie had built this shack. She went along the beach, got all the pieces of wreckage of boats, anything she could get to, dragged them to one spot. I don't know why she chose the spot she did, but it turned out to be a very historic place because it was called the Peak of the Hills, and they figure prominently in all of O'Neill's plays, and that's where he lived. So a little at a time, she got some windows in town and at the dump and just made an incredibly livable shack. Before Frenchie died, she made a will out, and she willed it to me and Josephine. So we would go out all the time, and especially in October, because that was my wife's birthday month. And we made a vow that we would always go out there for the month of October. October was such a beautiful month then. We used to go swimming every day, and we have bonfires in front of the shack. When you're out in the dunes, there is no time. It could be 1,000 years ago, be 1,000 years from now, because that landscape doesn't change. It changes. The wind pushes it around. But basically, it's the sand, the sky, and the sea. And that hasn't changed. So it's timeless. In the 60s, when my children were still young, were going to elementary school, I thought nothing of taking them in at 8 o'clock in the morning and then picking them up at 3. And then they'd come back with me. They would do their homework by candlelight or kerosene light. We had beautiful kerosene light, and then we played games, which is wonderful because in the dunes there's not much you can do, except during the World Series time. Then we listened to the ball game on the radio, a little portable. That was always very exciting because my wife loved baseball as much as I did, especially during the World Series time. After the kids went to bed, she would write poetry or write something. That was her real home. She loved it there. We've been all over Italy. We've seen some of those beautiful places. And certainly there were places that we could have lived. But her most precious place was the back shore. So it's been 50, 60 years, 70 years that I've painted out there. And some of my, what I consider my better work, were done on the dunes. I did a number of paintings of my wife, plus the landscapes and the seascapes and the nightscapes and the starscapes and all that wonderful variety of nature's moods. It's always a chore for me to go out now. You know, I'm not a young spry chicken anymore, but I make the effort because every time I go out, I always say the same thing. And I say it to my wife, now I say it to my son. Why don't we stay here all the time? It's so beautiful. There are so many rewards. So we got to New York As soon as I walked in that hospital, I had a feeling of tremendous elevation of my spirits, you know. Then the head nurse said, we work as a team. We work together every day on very delicate operations. So then she said, now Dr. Thompson wants to come in and talk to you. He sat next to me. He talked for me for 1 hour about my painting, about what I did, about my life, and then about his life. It was wonderful. He said, now we're going to go in and do the procedure. Take about 2.5 hours, and then you'll be fine. He said, you'll live to be 100. I said, oh, come on, doctor. No, you will. We're going to do it now. Are you ready? I said, I'm ready to go. So they wheeled me in. Before you know it, 2.5 hours was up. The last half hour was painful, I must say. Maybe the stuff was wearing off. I don't know. But they get it done. So they wheeled me back to my room. And one of the young doctors came in and said, Mr. Del Deo, we put 5 stents in you today. I said, holy mackerel. I said, this is I feel like I've been resurrected, you know, like the resurrection. So coming home, I was in a euphoric state. And we stopped on the old road and had a cup of coffee. And it was like a victory lap. I was so pleased. That's when I thought I'd go back to this painting here. And I said, you know, God's given me another year or so, whatever. I'm going to finish that painting because I'd love to do it. That's the Temptation of St. Anthony that I started 50 years ago. And I put it aside because at first I was stumbled by it. And then I was tired and sick leave a couple of times. And I just, you know, I got busy on other things. It's about 8 feet by 9 feet close to it. It's the biggest canvas I've done, single canvas. And so I started that. I'm going to finish that painting. And I've got other things I want to do. I've got another big one after this. I think I'm catching up in my painting of the years I spent cooking when I was only half painting, and I always resented it for 30 years. There's a lot of us around that are still working. And I think it's that desire to finish the dreams that we have, put it in reality. I think that's what does it. The need to live so you can flesh out your dreams is very, very strong. You know, like I still have dreams of some things I got to do. And that is an impetus for me to stay well, to do them. And I noticed this in all of my friends. Paul Rezig is my age. He's still painting. Carmen Cicero lives in Truro. He's 2 years older than me. He's still painting and doing some great stuff. As I get older, I remember more things. I remember things that I hadn't thought about in years. And now they come before me vividly. So I keep a pad like that by my bed. I put notes of my dreams, notes of what I'm thinking about for my painting, for things I have to do for my family, for my friends, little crazy things. It's kind of morbid, but I'm thinking about the kids that have to carry my casket when I die. I got all these kids arranged in my head, all nice young fellows that I've known. And I'm also thinking of my son going to Italy and carving in marble again. These are my dreams, yeah. I told Rumla, I want to go out to the dunes again. That's my favorite. If I knew that these are my last moments, I would opt for a party on the dunes with my family and my close friends. These friends are so precious to me. That's what one of the beauties of living in a small town. I've got so many dear friends here that I've known 2 and 3 generations now. I'm planning my party, my 94th birthday, August 12th, out on the dunes. That's going to be my gift to myself. We'll have a barbecue of fish on the fire and wine and have a great time.